the Iron Podcast. You know what that stands for? Industry Rules of Networking. And this is about the trials and tribulations of an independent recording artist.
All right. I'm going to try to continue the Iron blog here. For those that don't know, I have a blog, Industry Rules of Networking, .wordpress.com, where I discuss my life as an artist and some of the trials and tribulations that I went through as an artist. And there are, it's not just about me saying, look at me, I'm such a fantastic, great artist. It's more so a journey through things I've learned as a person, more so than, you know, as far as being a great or popular artist or anything like that. Because as most of you know me, can understand and agree with, I'm not a superstar, but I do have a bit of talent, a little bit of talent. And I try to look out for others that I feel are talented as well. So, with that being said, in the past blogs that I've posted, I have talked about my journey with other artists and artists I've worked with in Indiana, throughout Indiana, the Midwest, East Central Indiana in particular, also Indianapolis, Fort Wayne, all those hip-hop scenes in those different cities I've dealt with, and the lessons I've learned along the way. So far I've discussed my introduction into hip-hop. You can check on industryrulesofnetworking.wordpress.com, and all the blogs are listed there. Each blog has a video and accompanying information and pictures, and I'm just basically trying to tell a story of what I've done as an artist for those that might be interested. Where I left off last time, I was talking about Iron Workers Guild. The last two blogs I've done have been about Iron Workers Guild, which is a crew of, let me see, 8-9 artists. And we all were part of a team that was touring and working on music, and we released two projects. And I got right to the point where that group started to break up. IWG, Iron Workers Guild, we had just broke up. So the reason why we started having issues, I addressed before. Some of it was ego. Some of it was, you know, there were a lot of people at fault and a lot of factors at fault. But when we transitioned out of that situation, basically, I started doing my own thing with my half of Iron Workers Guild, which consisted of Science Born, also known as TJ Hooks, or Mel Chapo, the Monster, a man called Relic, who's my brother, and Stone Messiah, some of you may know him as Matt Foy, and then myself. And that was the group. It was called Hollow Men. This was around 2011, about 2 years that we had this group, and we had basically continued what we started with IWG. We did shows in Indianapolis. I believe when we opened for Adele, the Funky Homo Sapien. Some of you may know him from Cali, from Hieroglyphics. We did a show with him in Indy during this time. C-Ray's Walls, we did some events with C-Ray's Walls from the Bronx, New York. Did some shows in Ohio, Dayton, Fairborn area. And three releases came out of that. Out of that era, which was, you can look these up too. I'll post these on the blog as well. One of them was a critically acclaimed album called NPR, which stood for Nihilism Produces Revolution. And that was by a man called Relic. It was a mixture of hip hop and spoken word poetry. And almost everybody that reviewed it said it was an amazing project, outstanding. The wordplay is, I still listen to it to this day, and And I'm in the process of deciphering some of the stuff that's being said on that album. It's a really deep and complicated piece of work. And then also American Idol was an album that was released by Stone Messiah. And Science Born released a album. It was more like a mixtape. And it was called The Born Supremacy. And then myself, I released something called Rise of the Sleeping Giant, which was a kind of like, I had a bunch of guest features from people all over the state of Indiana. I might actually have a copy of that here somewhere. Maybe not. But, yeah, so eventually the Hollow Man thing was like a reaction to the split up or the breakup of Ironworkers Guild. And the concept was basically we're going to represent what we stood for in Ironworkers Guild and take that to the next level, which was basically a dark sound, kind of like a 90s boom bap hip hop type sound. And it ended up, the projects that came out of that were critically acclaimed. I would say NPR by A Man Called Relic was the one that actually broke through and got a lot of attention. Rise of the Sleeping Giant got a lot of attention too. All of them did in their own right, but I would say that the NPR album is the one that was the standout among those three. And of course, Science Born, The Born Supremacy also got some attention. But we got to get to the point of how these groups break up, okay? That's the gist of this whole conversation, the reason why these things fall apart. And to me, when it got to this next stage of development with the artists, the reason why things fell apart is because I don't think that from the beginning everyone was on the same page. I don't think everyone treated it seriously. I don't think everybody was looking at it like, we're going to push this until we get to where we need to be. I think it was more of a thing like, when you're doing it, you treat it seriously. Like, the craft, the project, whatever it may be, if it's a job, if you're into construction while you're building the patio or whatever it is you do, you treat it seriously at the moment. And then sometimes as time goes by, it's like it turns into like a pastime or a hobby sometimes to some people. And that's when your work ethic fails. So when we got to the point where we started getting too comfortable and stopped pushing the limits of our creativity and stopped caring about, another aspect is when you get a project done, you have to see it, you know, past the creative point, like when it's released. And this goes for anything. Like I said, you could be building a house. You could be, whatever, working at a supermarket or a factory. You have to see it. You have to go past the part where your hand's in it, especially if you have ownership over the product. You can't just stop. Okay, well, I made this. There it is. If you make it, the people will come or whatever. That's not how it is. You have to actually show it to the people, and you have to constantly present it to the people. And sometimes I've seen artists get mad at the actual people for not responding. You can't be mad at the people for not responding to your music. It's not their duty to respond to your music just because you put it out there. And at the same token, you don't, it's not a necessity that you actually have to, bend to the will of the public all the time either, because that makes you a trend follower instead of a trendsetter. So therefore you have to walk that line between, your own personal beliefs and your own personal integrity and what the people like. But the thing with the Hollow Men was, is that we had this nice little spot to where locally and regionally they make the type of music that we liked, and it still got a good response. So we were able to go out and do events and do shows and sell a few CDs here and there. So, you know, something I didn't address also was there was an event we had. It was called, it was a beat battle. It was like one of the first beat battles that I actually ever heard of happening. And it was, let me see, the 18 Bronzemen beat battle. Oh, the 18 Bronzemen beat battle, which was Bronze Nazareth from Detroit, Ohio. I mean, Detroit, Michigan, by way of Grand Rapids. And his brother, Kevlar 7. God bless the dead. Kevlar was a close friend of mine. This is an example, right? We had a beat battle, and I did this as a part of Zulu Nation in Fort Wayne. So we actually had the Wiseman, Bronze Nazareth, and Kevlar come down to Fort Wayne and judge this battle. And basically what happened is I told all my people in the crew, don't enter the battle because we already know these guys. We already work with these guys. Now, this is right at the end of IWG transitioning into Hollow Man. And this is an example of people not having the same integrity when it comes to certain things. I felt that it was unfair if you're already connected with an artist that's judging a beat battle, that you not enter that beat battle, because then you've already got, they already know you, they already like your music. Obviously, that's unfair to the other contestants. So, Wouldn't Change, who was a part of IWG at that time, you know, felt the need to still enter the beat battle, even though we had all addressed this prior to the actual beat battle and said, you know, you don't need to enter this because we already work with these guys. What's the point of entering? Because the prize for the beat battle was you get to produce a track for Bronze on his project. It was Thought for Food Volume 3, I think. Thought for Food Volume 3. So that was the prize of the beat battle. But Stone Messiah, I told him, don't do it. It's not a good look because we already work with these guys. He didn't do it. He listened. Wooden Chains did not listen, and he even took a step further to actually hop in the car during the beat battle. Well, actually, it was at the beginning of the beat battle, before the event, hop in the car with Bronze and Kevlar playing beats. Hey, look, this is what I got. I got this one. I'm going to play this one. I'm going to do this one. I'm going to do that. And it's like, you know, I'm sitting there like, this is, you know, that whole night, it was a good time because you're hanging out with people that you're friends with and that you work with and that you think are talented. But I'm pissed the whole night because I'm like, you know, you straight up violated. But I'm not going to, you know, address it at this given time because this is not the point in time to address it. What I'm going to say, don't enter it, get into argument about that. That's just another minus against your name instead of a plus. You know what I'm saying? So that's an example of the little frustrating things that can happen when you're dealing with artists and you try to take a leadership role is sometimes people don't trust your judgment no matter how many times you've proven to them that your judgment is solid. And they still won't recognize it and they won't adhere or heed your warnings. You know, it's just like a child when they burn their hand. Sometimes you got to let the child burn their hand on the oven themselves instead of telling them don't touch the oven, it's hot. You know, you got to let them wander over there and burn their thumb on it. And it, see, I told you so. You don't want to listen. So, I mean, that's just how it is in the music as well. But, so Hollow Man eventually fell apart due to, I would say, a lot of the artists weren't really involved as they could have been. Hollow Man, once again, was a man called Relic, released NPR. Stone Messiah released American Idol. And myself, I released Rise of the Sleeping Giant. And Science Born released The Born Supremacy. I will be posting all these on the blog at industryrulesofnetworking.wordpress.com. All of these great projects. And I had some other stuff lined up. And I'll give another example. We had actual physical CDs. CDs are dying right now. You can rarely find CDs. It's all about digital. But this was around 2010. CDs were still selling somewhat. They were still on the decline. But I go into my brother's room and I'm like, you know, let me get some of these CDs because I sold all of mine that I had. We didn't really have a tight financial plan for the sales, music sales anyway. When you're an independent artist, the best thing to do is funnel the music that you make off of your the money you make off of your music back into the music. So that way you don't have to come out your pocket constantly. If you go and do a $300 show, put that into getting your CDs made or getting your music on iTunes or getting some flyers or business cards or t-shirts or something, you know, instead of just, hey, let's cut this $300 up and distribute it among everybody and then we can all spend it and be right back at square one. You know, that's not how you're going to stay afloat as an indie artist. The profits you make off your music is best invested back into the music. So that way nobody has to come out of the pocket. If you can get to a point where you have a nice little fund built up for the artists on your squad, then you guys can sit and vote on how you want to spend the money. Okay, should we get t-shirts this time around? Should we get business cards? Should we do this? Should we do that? You know, just like, you know, my group, I'm in a band now called Planet Boom Bap, and we invested in business cards. I just got 500 business cards in the mail, you know, and that's for, you know, that's to promote the website. It's another thing we invested in, planetboombap.com. So it's like, you have to be business minded, and a lot of people don't realize. To me, it's like if you're an indie artist and you're actually out there if you're active and you're doing things, you know, regardless of what type of music you make, it could be old school, it could be turn up, trap, whatever you do, rock, country, as long as you're out there putting your heart into it and you're making some kind of profit, you know, not just 100% doing it for the fun, because grown adults in America in 2017 can't really spend a lot of their time doing things just to do them unless they're recreational. I mean, like, you can go shoot around a basketball court, you can go around and paint, you can, you know, paint supplies are expensive too, but I mean, this is something where you, like, if you're an artist, you got to spend money on traveling. I have a band, so we got to worry about, you know, three or four cars traveling together. That's a lot of gas, you know, and everybody's schedule, taking time that they could be using to make money or spending with their children. So there's a lot more involved when you're an adult with a family and you're trying to do the music thing. So therefore you have to navigate the waters properly and make sure that it's beneficial to everybody involved. But anyway, back to the CD thing. My brother, I had sold all of my CDs, all of my copies of his album. And I went over to his house and the albums, it was just totally frustrating me that his albums were just laying. He had a good 50 albums just laying all over the floor. Some of the cases were broke. One of them, I think, had like refried beans smeared on it. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, this is how you treat your work. Like, you know, I came here to sell these and I can't even probably sell half of them, you know, because they have broken cases. They might be scratched up. It's just like you're showing that you don't really give a shit. And that's the example I always live by or go by. Actions. You judge people by their actions more so than their words, because somebody can sit there and tell you, you know, one thing and their actions are showing something else. And that makes them not realistic, or not, they're not being truthful. You know, if somebody tells you, okay, you know, I believe, you know, somebody says, I'm a devout Christian. I love Jesus. I'm a Christian. And then you go over to their house and there's all kinds of, demon statues and satanic imagery and they're, praise the horn God and all that. That might not be a good example, but I mean, it's like totally the opposite of what they're trying to tell you is how they're living their life. So it's like, you know, maybe that's not a good example, but you know what I mean? Those that are watching and those that care. But it's like, you've got to make sure that your actions balance out with what you're saying and what you're thinking. So if you believe in something, if you believe in your music, then you should have the motivation to actually give a shit about it in the real world. And actually, if you get CDs made, or if you guys, if your group gets together, five of you guys say, hey, let's get 100 CDs and chop them up. You get 10, whatever. At least sell the CDs, at least make an effort to let people know in your social media, on your social media accounts, that you have them available. At least try to, you know, be motivated to actually accomplish something. And I noticed that a lot of times when people don't want to be involved in something, when people will say, their mouth will say that they're down for something or they're dedicated to something, and then you look at their actions, and a slick way that some people can get away with not participating in what they really didn't want to do in the first place is they'll lower their level of activism. They'll back away and then, oh, I was a little too busy, you know, I had too much to do, I'm sorry, I couldn't do it. But then it's like, you understand that like one time or two times, things come up and people go through phases in life and busy stages and all kinds of stuff. But if you're looking at a whole quarter in the business world, right? If you're looking at 3 solid months where one of your members hasn't lived up, one of your band or group or company members hasn't lived up to what he said he was going to do, that's detrimental to the business, period. And if you, depending on your level of strictness and how much business you guys got going on, you know, it might even be less time than that. You might even not even be able to tolerate 3 months. Now, the best thing for that person to do that's not willing to participate in the promotion of the product or helping you sell it or helping push your music to the people, the best thing for them to do is off the top say, hey, I can't do it, man. My life's too busy. I'm still down with the group. I will help y'all create, and I will help you create music. I'll go to the studio with you, whatever you need, interviews, whatever we need, we can make it happen. But I just can't do all the, you know, some of the regular stuff that has to happen in a timely fashion, social media account and all that. I'm not really good at that. I really don't know how to do that. And you can either teach them how, or you can just say, hey, this guy, that's not his thing, you know, because all of us are specialists. If you got 5 people, one guy might be good to handle the merchandise. One guy might be good to handle the promotion and marketing on social media, you know, or you might have to get outside people that aren't even in the musical group. I'm talking about from an independent standpoint. But basically, what it all boils down to is that if you're a part of a group of people that are all supposed to be equally investing their time and effort into this project, into this product, then there aren't really a lot of excuses when it comes down to it. Because, you know, when you're looking at adult life, people have jobs and kids and all these things they have to deal with, and that's understandable. But if I can sacrifice to do this for this group, then you should be able to too. What makes your time more important than my time? That's the whole thing. When you come together as a unit, you have to say, we're all going to make this sacrifice together. And it might be sacrificing the schedule. I might not be able to go out and pop bottles and party and, you know, turn up like I usually do on the weekend because I'm going to be in the studio or whatever it takes. It takes a certain degree of sacrifice to participate on a level that is adequate for the group to benefit. So with that being said, the Hollow Man crew, which, like I said, I'm going to say it again. I keep going over this. Myself, Science Born, A Man Called Relic, Stone Messiah. It kind of dissolved because there wasn't a lot of dedication around that entity. So everybody kind of went their separate ways. And that leads us into the beginning of something called Bedlam Brethren, which is another group that I'm still a part of to this day, that had one of the most successful projects I ever released, which is Black Feather Messengers. Produced Shrink Wrap, UPC code, completely produced by Spearman from New Zealand. One of my most successful projects, critically acclaimed projects I released. Guest features from Chief Kamachi from Philly, who used to be with the Army of the Pharaohs, Jedi Mind Tricks crew. Thurston Howell III from Brooklyn, New York. He's in Miami now, I believe. Verbal Gods from Indianapolis, who I still work with. C-Ray's Walls from the Bronx, New York, who I mentioned before. Kevlar 7, God Bless the Dead, Rest in Peace, from Rising Power, I should say, from Wiseman out of Grand Rapids / Detroit. So I guess the next blog will be about that. But basically the gist of what I'm trying to get at with the whole Hollow Men thing, this stage that predates Bedlam Brethren and Planet Boom Bap, the groups that I'm in right now, is that the reason why a lot of these entities cease to exist and fall apart when you're dealing with groups of people, it might be a flaw in leadership, which I can say that I wasn't a perfect leader when it came to these groups a lot of times. And it also has to do with people not trusting the judgment of said leader, which I think is a problem on behalf of some of the members of the group that aren't willing to swallow their pride and actually listen and actually basically say, look, I believe in you enough to try, at least try what you're saying and see if it works first instead of just writing it off from the beginning. Because if it's beneficial enough to call one person in that group a leader when it actually helps you, then you should give him a chance to actually prove some of these other points and ideas. And not to say that, you know, votes should be involved when there's a group, you know, but a lot of times if one person steps to the forefront and proves that there's success at creating and manifesting ideas and executing ideas, then why not let them continue? You know, ego also stands in the way on behalf of the leaders and the group members. Sometimes, you know, everybody wants to be a star in their own right, and rightfully so. Myself personally, when Hollow Man was created as a group, I put my brother's album out first and Stone Messiah's album out and Science Borns before I ever even came out with Rise of the Sleeping Giant. So I've always put other artists ahead of me when I'm in a group. I never really wanted to be the guy, that guy that's at the forefront, the star, you know. Like I said before, when I was in Ironworkers Guild, when we performed, I wore a black hockey mask. I wasn't really about fortune and fame. I mean, there wasn't any involved, really, to be honest. But some people let local fame go to their head. And I've never been one of those people. I just, my work speaks for itself. My history speaks for itself. So the only reason why I'm divulging this information right now is because I feel that there are lessons that can be learned by other indie artists if they're willing to hear out somebody that's already been there, that's already done it. You know, times change and technology changes, but there are some basic human flaws and basic human traits that don't change much over time, you know. And it has a lot to do with ego, and it has a lot to do with being able to execute your ideas in a way that is viable to the public. But anyway, that's it. I don't want to ramble, and I will be posting this on industryrulesofnetworking.wordpress.com, and I'll put a link up. Peace. verses. All's well, Babylon fell and all hella break loose. Are you ready for truth? I can tell you ain't. This is the wake up call for y'all to elevate. No champagne in this campaign, you wanna celebrate. All's well, Babylon fell and all hella break loose. Are you ready for truth? I can tell you ain't. This is the wake up call for y'all to elevate. No champagne in this campaign, you wanna celebrate. You brag about the money that you spending on your outfits, frontin' like you higher than accountant to count it. But you wrote a check and bounced it, counting pennies at the nearest JCPenney outlet. Man, where the fuck the cash at? You spend it on them scrippers, putting dollars in the ass crack. In the dressing room, they laugh at a broke trick, then they hypnotize them with that ass clap. And the women want the shiny things, necklaces and diamond rings, and whatever desire brings. We both addicted to it like some fiends, sleepwalking in America, pretending life's a dream. And we done hit rock bottom, we worshiping the rich corporations and picking cotton. If you don't think that there's a problem, opinions are like assholes, everybody got them. All's well, Babylon fell and all hella break loose. Are you ready for truth? I can tell you ain't. This is the wake up call for y'all to elevate. No champagne in this campaign, you wanna celebrate. All's well, Babylon fell and all hella break loose. Are you ready for truth? I can tell you ain't. This is the wake up call for y'all to elevate. No champagne in this campaign, you wanna celebrate. Celebrities, why do we put them on a pedestal? No universal healthcare, we can't afford the medical. And they make our lives a spectacle. Executives are pedophiles, the marketing is sexual. They call it popular demand when they profit from a band, all in the pockets of the fans. So now hip hop is just a brand, not a culture to the vultures. You can cop it in a can or download it on your Android or iPhone. You grown and brown nosing like a fanboy. To get some money in your hand, boy, you lost your self-respect and let them treat you like a damn boy. So you can get your product placement. I remember when we used to practice verses in the basement. Now they making a fashion statement. Back in ancient past enslavement, you were master's favorite. All's well, Babylon fell and all hella break loose. Are you ready for truth? I can tell you ain't. This is the wake up call for y'all to elevate. No champagne in this campaign, you wanna celebrate. All's well, Babylon fell and all hella break loose. Are you ready for truth? I can tell you ain't. This is the wake up call for y'all to elevate. No champagne in this campaign, you wanna celebrate. No champagne. And all hella break loose, are you ready for truth? I can tell you ain't. This is the wake up call for y'all to elevate. Yeah, for y'all to elevate.